Chapter 37. "What's this about you visiting the ministry?" Hermione demanded. "I had to talk to Scrimjaw," Harry said evenly. "Just like you suggested." "Did you even plan to tell us about it?" she asked, hands on her hips as she glared at him. Harry paused. "I told Remus," he said, knowing that wasn't what she wanted to hear, but he hadn't been prepared for this conversation. "He went with me." "I don't like this," Hermione said. Her eyes narrowed. "Come on, Hermione," Harry pleaded. "It's not like I could get into a whole lot of trouble with Remus." Hermione huffed at him. "The last time I know that you were with him, you got into an argument with Voldemort and were involved with a large pack of Dementors," she said pointedly. "Yeah, well, he also made sure I was taken care of afterwards," he said defensively. "Harry, I don't want to fight with you," Hermione said, "but I don't like this at all. You've always had more secrets and things you don't really want to talk about, but now? Now you don't seem to want to tell us anything." Harry closed his eyes, attempting to keep hold of his rising temper. He didn't really want to fight with them either. He tried simply changing the subject. "Have you been able to do any more of the research?" he asked, his voice tight. "We need to talk about all these secrets," Hermione said firmly, not willing to back down. Harry opened his eyes, glaring at her. "You and Ron know the biggest secret of all," he said, his voice low and dangerous. "Hermione, lay off," Ron said, staring at Harry even as he tugged at Hermione's arm. "Don't you care that Harry could be in real trouble?" Hermione snapped, rounding on Ron. "Of course I care," Ron said. "I don't like him keeping secrets from us either. But I don't see how nagging at him is going to help." Hermione's nostrils flared as she inhaled sharply. "I'm not nagging," she said. "I'm trying to point out to him that we're here for him and trying to help." There was a knock at the door, and all three turned to glare at the intruder. Harry slashed his wand to drop the silencing charm as Fred looked them over with raised brows. "What?" Hermione snapped impatiently. Fred ignored her and looked at Harry. "Remus sent me up here to get you," he said. "Seems Dad was right, and you've now got a visitor downstairs." "I don't fucking want to deal with Scrimjaw right now," Harry muttered angrily, stalking to the door anyway. His friends followed closely, but warily. He paused at the bottom of the stairs and took a deep breath, composing himself before he went into the sitting room, where he could hear the others talking. The method had seemed to work for Draco earlier in the day, so it was worth a try. "Ah, there's Harry now," Arthur said warmly, missing the underlying tension in the air. "Good evening, Potter," Scrimjaw said. Harry didn't think anyone in the room missed the minister blatantly looking Harry over. Hopefully most of them would attribute it to Harry's new clothing and lack of glasses, though. "You are looking well today." Harry nodded once in acknowledgement. "My apologies for not contacting you earlier," he said, playing the game. Scrimjaw's gaze swept once around the other members of the room, who were all looking on curiously. "Perhaps you could step outside with me for a private word," he suggested. "Certainly," Harry said, turning sharply on his heel and stepping out of the room again. They went outside, but not far from the house. Harry raised a brow as Scrimjaw was the one to raise a silencing charm around them. "Potter, you are looking much better than when I saw you last," Scrimjaw said. "What I still don't know is whether your trip was successful or not." Harry shrugged. "It was successful," he admitted. "And you're not telling me any more than that, are you?" Scrimjaw said wryly. "No, I'm not," Harry said, smirking at him. "I discovered something today," Scrimjaw said, watching him closely. "I went to your house to check on you, and your cousin answered the door." Harry glanced at him sharply, instantly worried. He was certain Draco had said that Dudley and Uncle Vernon's memories had been modified so that they wouldn't be able to reveal anything about him and Narcissa. What if Scrimjaw had somehow found out anyway? Aunt Petunia had been helping them and her memories hadn't been modified. "Yes," Scrimjaw said. "He was quite forthcoming with the fact that you did not live there anymore." Harry still wasn't breathing easy, but he nodded once. Hopefully that was all Scrimjaw knew. Even though that fact alone was irritating, it wasn't outright dangerous for anyone. I didn't know I needed to inform the Ministry, he said sarcastically, staying calm on the surface at least. Scrimjaw glared at him in annoyance. Potter, I am not happy with being kept in the dark regarding your activities, he said. Harry snorted derisively. You know I'm still not telling you, he said. I recognize that, Scrimjaw said grimly. However, considering that we are on the same side, I believe it would be helpful if I at least had a way of contacting you should any emergency arise, he explained. Harry blinked in surprise at that. You'd actually contact me in an emergency? He questioned. It would appear you have resources and knowledge that I do not, Scrimjaw admitted. I would be a fool not to take that into account during this war. Harry raised an eyebrow, smirking at the man mockingly. Wouldn't that mean you've been a fool this entire past year for not working with Dumbledore? He asked. Scrimjaw glared at him. Things change, he said coldly. Harry rolled his eyes. In other words, you never attempted to blackmail Dumbledore, and you still think there might be some way you can take advantage of me, he said. Scrimjaw's eyes widened marginally as he shook his head in resignation. You are underestimated frequently, aren't you? He said dryly. Harry smirked in amusement. Yes, he admitted. Nevertheless, Potter, I need to know where you are living so that I can contact you quickly if need be, Scrimjaw said briskly. Harry shook his head. I don't think it's going to be that easy, he warned. Even the Weasleys don't know that I've moved out of the Dursleys' house. Not most of them, anyway, he added in his head. So you are not planning on staying here, then? Scrimjaw said shrewdly. Arthur mentioned that you were coming to dinner, and also mentioned something about you still being at your relative's house. It's safer if no one knows where I'm staying, Harry said with a shrug, and I don't intend to tell you, but I can understand the need to be able to reach me. He understood it, but he wasn't sure what to do about it. There was no chance of him telling Scrimjaw where he was at, which meant Flew and Apparition were out. Owls would be too slow in a real emergency. Scrimjaw didn't have a phoenix. Severus had changed the ward so that even other house elves were unable to get into Grimmauld Place. Dumbledore had only taught the Order members how to use their Patronuses to send messages. Harry himself didn't know exactly how to do that one yet. He'd been using the coins with the twins, but that didn't exactly seem to be an appropriate method with the Minister. But he wasn't sure that he wanted to have Scrimjaw linked to the bracelet on his wrist, either. He'd been pacing back and forth a few steps in either direction, staying within the silencing charm, but now he stopped and addressed the Minister again. I'm not sure what the solution is, he admitted. I'd like to talk to Remus about it first. Scrimjaw was irritated again, but he nodded in acceptance. They walked back into the house, scattering Harry's friends, who'd been watching and hoping to listen in. Could I get you some tea while you wait? Harry asked politely once they were inside. Eyebrows around the room rose incredulously as the Minister accepted the offer. I'll get the tea, Molly said quickly, despite her astonishment at Harry's behavior. No, it's all right, Harry said firmly. Remus can help me in the kitchen. Molly looked nonplussed, but sat back down as Remus rose and gently reassured her that he'd help Harry. Remus erected the silencing charm and leaned back against the table, as Harry automatically began putting together a tray for tea. He was familiar enough with the kitchen, as Molly hadn't moved things around from the summer before. What's going on, Harry? Remus asked. Harry quickly filled him in on the last problem. He reckoned he should be thankful that it was a little problem, rather than anything major this time. Remus frowned thoughtfully as he considered the situation. He was reluctant to inform Scrimjaw of the Patronus method, as it was meant only for Order members, and Scrimjaw was still a bit of an unknown. Harry was reaching to grasp the container of sugar off the table to put on the tray when Remus suddenly grabbed his wrist. Hey! Harry protested. I'm just getting the sugar. Remus rolled his eyes, pulling up the sleeve of Harry's jumper to look at his bracelet. You can receive short messages from those of us at Grimmauld Place. Perhaps we should also connect you to Scrimjaw. Isn't there a possibility of me accidentally sending him an inappropriate message? Harry asked. Remus nodded absently, still eyeing the bracelet. Possible, yes. But we've adjusted the charm so that you must use an identifying name to send the message. Like a password? Harry asked, feeling confused about the whole process. The bracelets were beginning to sound far more complicated than he wanted to deal with, but it was ridiculous to carry several different coins. You will get used to it quickly, Remus said. What would Scrimjaw use? Harry asked. The item does not have to be exactly the same for this particular charm to work, Remus said. Unless Scrimjaw has other charms on his watch, it would work well enough. Harry grimaced. So I will have to be connected to Scrimjaw, he said in disgust. It is probably a good idea, Remus said mildly. You never know when you might wish to have an easy way to contact him as well. Harry was forced to admit the truth of Remus's words, and nodded reluctantly. Severus had warned him just earlier in the day that things would likely be turning bad soon. As if things weren't already dire enough in the wizarding world. You go entertain the minister, Remus said, standing up. I need to have a quick word with Severus before I put these charms into place. Perhaps one of the others may have other suggestions as well. Harry started to protest, but realized it was probably best if he stayed with Scrimjaw. Fine, he grumbled, finally grabbing the sugar and adding it to the tray. Remus slipped out the back door as Harry returned to the living room to serve tea, wondering how he'd gotten himself into the situation. Glancing around the room, though, he had a sudden urge to laugh. Arthur was the only one who looked at all comfortable, and everyone but Scrimjaw looked at least mildly bewildered. Harry corrected that mental observation as he caught sight of the twins. They simply appeared amused by the whole situation. Ginny, Ron, and Hermione seemed to be bewildered by Harry's show of politeness to the minister, as they knew how he felt about the man. Molly was surely confused as to why the man was in her house, and why Harry had turned into the semi-formal host for the visit. Arthur seemed a little bewildered by the events, but was also one of the most comfortable, considering he worked with the minister on a regular basis. Bill and Charlie were sitting back and observing the odd gathering. An awkward silence had fallen over the room as Harry entered. Inwardly rolling his eyes, Harry fell into his role again. Remus had to step out for a few minutes, he informed Scrimjaw. I believe when he returns we can get back to business. How would you like your tea? Harry calmly and efficiently poured tea for everyone as he talked with the minister, already knowing how almost everyone else preferred theirs. No one else seemed willing to draw attention to themselves, only moving to accept cups of tea from Harry. No one knew exactly what was going on, but it was clear that Harry was firmly in control. Harry asked about possible arrests, as if he didn't already know exactly who was arrested. Scrimjaw followed along, answering the questions, and Arthur was drawn into the conversation, both men talking about the progress being made at the ministry. It felt like forever to Harry, but it couldn't have been more than 10 minutes before Remus returned. If you would excuse me for a minute, Harry said. He was smirking as he walked into the kitchen, thinking about how proud Narcissa would be of his show of manners. I gather it is going well in there, then? Remus asked. I've just been proving I have a few of those manners things after all, Harry said, still smirking. Remus shook his head in exasperated amusement. So, what Severus have to say about this? Harry asked. To be honest, he's not pleased with it, Remus said. Harry grimaced. I'm still not happy about being connected to Scrimjaw either. He's concerned about the fact that Scrimjaw was looking for you, but has agreed that being able to contact him quickly could be useful, Remus said. As he had no better solutions, I suggest we get this done and over with so Scrimjaw will leave. Yeah, I didn't want him here at all, Harry said, scowling as he turned to go get Scrimjaw. Oh, Harry, Remus called. Harry looked over his shoulder. What? I informed Draco about your invitation to go out tonight, Remus said. Harry's eyes widened, and he turned fully to face Remus. And what did he say? He asked. Remus looked at him in understanding. He said to tell you to go, but, as Lucius pointed out, it is not safe for you to drink. There would be far too much risk of you mentioning things that you shouldn't, he said. Yeah, I reckon that's true, Harry said, only mildly disappointed. He was more shocked that Draco didn't mind. Draco really said it was all right with him? Remus smiled. Yes, he did, Harry, he said. I will be taking Victoria back with me, and you are to go out and have fun for a little while. It is your birthday. I wish Draco could come, Harry said with a sigh. I don't know that that will ever happen, though. He shook his head. I reckon it doesn't matter much anyway. Mainly I'm going just to try to keep Ron out of trouble. Remus chuckled. I did notice things did not seem well between Ron and Hermione, he admitted. Harry rolled his eyes. It's a long story that I doubt you'd want to hear even if we had time, he said, turning again to go get Scrimjaw. A short time later, Scrimjaw's watch had an activation that would transfer as an alert message to Harry's new bracelet. Harry was impressed, but he wasn't about to say anything in front of Scrimjaw. Finally, the man left, and Harry and Remus joined the others in the living room. Well, that was fun, Harry said sarcastically. Sorry for forcing him on all of you tonight. It's quite all right, dear, Molly said, standing to gather the dirty cups and tea things. I don't claim to understand what is going on between you, but I was quite impressed with your manners this evening. Harry sent a smug smirk in Remus's direction. I kinda impressed myself, he said. What was that all about? Bill asked curiously. Harry was grateful when Remus answered. Scrimjaw's preference is to keep close tabs on Harry, he said mildly. However, Harry has not exactly been cooperating the way he would prefer. They reached a compromise of sorts this evening. What sort of compromise? Hermione asked. Show them, Harry, Remus said. Harry frowned, but did as Remus asked, pushing up the sleeve of his jumper and revealing his new bracelet. Bloody hell! Ron exclaimed. Where'd you get that from? Harry's frown deepened. From Remus, he said shortly. It looks nice, Hermione said. But what does it have to do with Scrimjaw? We're using the same principle that you used with the DA coins, Remus explained, but it is a two-way system. He explained how Scrimjaw's watch was connected and went on to state that he could connect the others to Harry as well. Oh, this is brilliant! Hermione said excitedly. I want to know exactly how it works. I think we should get going, finally, Bill interjected, eyeing Hermione's enthusiasm with amusement and obviously not wanting to stick around. This is one of my last few nights as a free man, and spending it with Scrimjaw is not my idea of a good time. Sorry, Harry said. Bill waved his hand dismissively. Not your fault. And I could have left, but it was actually fairly entertaining, he said with a grin. It's time to go now, though. Harry can't go, as he has Victoria, Hermione said. Harry rolled his eyes. I'll be there in a while, he said, sighing heavily. I'm going with them, Ron said mutinously. Fine, Hermione snapped. Harry watched wistfully as all the Weasley brothers left. Ginny had taken over watching Victoria, and was sitting on the floor quietly playing with her. But she was now eyeing Harry questioningly. Harry shrugged. Remus offered to take Victoria back for me, he said simply. Hermione frowned. Won't the Dursleys be upset about that? She asked. Harry shrugged. Aunt Petunia seems to get along well enough with him, he said. She hasn't been so bad lately. Hermione's expression indicated that she definitely didn't agree. I want the charm set on my watch so I can actually get a hold of you quickly, she said firmly. Harry took the bracelet off again, as Remus connected it to Hermione, Molly, Arthur, and Ginny. It'll be like having text messaging through a piece of jewelry, Harry muttered as he watched the process, causing Hermione to burst out laughing. It's a lot more limited, but it is rather similar, she admitted. He wished he'd never said anything, as Hermione launched into an explanation for Arthur. Harry gathered Victoria up from Ginny and snuggled with the little girl as he continued to wait. Someone, probably Molly, had already gathered up Harry's gifts and they were in a neat pile next to Victoria's bag. Remus would be ready to go back to Grimmauld Place as soon as the charms were done. Harry wasn't so sure he'd be getting away from Hermione, though. Have fun tonight, but do be careful, Remus said quietly, as Harry put the bracelet back on again. "I will," Harry said. He stuffed his gifts into Victoria's bag, passing it to Remus. Remus tapped Harry's wrist. "You can reach me immediately now if you need me for any reason," he said. "Thanks, Remus," Harry said softly. He kissed Victoria on the forehead and sent them off. He turned back to Hermione. "Are you going to take the time to talk to me, or are you going to rush off now too?" she asked. "Hermione, lay off him a bit," Ginny said. "It is his birthday still." "Oh, I'm sorry," Hermione said, sounding honestly contrite. "It's just...
Ron,"
Harry and Ginny chorused, finishing the sentence for her. "Yes," Hermione said miserably, "and I reckon I'm just tired. I haven't felt quite like this since third year." Harry had already been feeling bad for his friend. Now he felt guilty all over again. "What happened third year?" Ginny asked in confusion. Harry shook his head at Ginny, and, grabbing Hermione's hand, he practically pulled her up the stairs this time. He warded the room before sitting down with her on Ron's bed. "I'm sorry, Hermione," Harry said. "It's not your fault," she said, tears already falling. "It's not," he said bitterly. "I think it is, at least partly. I'm adding more stress because you're worried about me. And then I asked you to do that research. I'd bet anything now that you've been trying to help the Weasleys during the day and reading any spare moment and half the night." "Well, yes, but that's my choice," she said. "And it's not your fault that Voldemort's put us in these positions. I understand your need to hurry. It's pounding me as well. The faster we can sort out the Horcruxes, the better off we'll all be." Harry bit at his lip as he debated whether to tell Hermione or not. He would have to, sooner or later, and she could certainly use some good news. "I've got the locket already," he admitted. Red-rimmed eyes shot up to stare at him. "You have the locket?" she asked, disbelieving what she'd heard. He nodded. "All I need to do now is figure out how to destroy it safely. But I don't think that part is really going to be too much trouble," he said. Hermione wiped her eyes as if brushing the tears away would help her make sense of things. "How? Why didn't you come get us to help you?" Harry was shaking his head. "It's not really safe for me to tell you, Hermione," he said. "Like I told you earlier, I had Remus's help with this one. And no, he has no idea what the locket actually is, only that I absolutely had to get it." She tilted her head curiously. "Your visit to the Ministry had something to do with getting the locket?" she asked. It was barely a question. "Yes," he admitted. "Scrimgeour didn't actually help you get into Malfoy Manor, did he?" Hermione asked. It had been her idea, but from the tone of her voice, she hadn't expected the plan to work.
No, not exactly," Harry said. He'd simply helped Harry get to Lucius, so Lucius could get him into the Malfoy Manor vault, but he wasn't admitting that.
"What does not exactly mean?" she asked sharply. "Harry, tell me you haven't been inside Malfoy Manor," she demanded.
Harry's shrug admitted that he'd been there.
"Oh, Harry," Hermione exclaimed. "Tell me you at least had more backup other than just Remus. We tried warning you not to go there. It's too dangerous."
Harry looked at her steadily. "And that's why I'm not telling you everything," he said evenly, causing her to jerk back. "You and Ron want to play this by a certain set of rules. Relatively safe rules." He shook his head. "Voldemort doesn't play that way, and I can't either." Both you and Ron immediately dismissed the idea of searching Malfoy Manor. Then it sounds like you were just humoring me by telling me to go to Scrimgeour. You wanted me to play it safe. You both tried to forbid me from talking to Ginny about the chamber. Yet I needed to do those things, and they led me to Horcruxes."
"We would have helped if you'd talked to us more about it," Hermione said, but she sounded doubtful of her own words.
"Maybe," Harry said, "but how much longer would it have taken for you to be convinced the risks were minimized as much as possible before going to Malfoy Manor? Without proof that there was anything in the chamber, how long would it have taken to convince you that I needed to talk to Ginny about going back there?" I don't feel like I have that kind of time, Hermione, he said sadly. It's not that I don't want your help. I just don't think you're really prepared to help in certain ways that I need. He took a deep breath, knowing Hermione really wouldn't like his next words, but he felt he needed to say them anyway. You don't trust my judgment, he said. Hermione looked stricken, but he forged ahead anyway. After what happened at the ministry, you've got cause to not trust me, he admitted. But Hermione, you and Ron have always struggled with trusting my judgment and my ability to make decisions for myself, he said. When you think I'm wrong, you tend to go over my head to McGonagall. With the things I'm doing, I just can't afford to have you running to someone because you don't think I'm playing by the right rules.
We don't trust you, do we? Hermione said, her voice small. Your Firebolt, your name in the goblet, Snape's book, Malfoy this last year. And you're right. We immediately dismissed you talking to Ginny and searching Malfoy Manor. I tried to hold you back from searching the well, too.
Your intentions are good, Harry said quietly. I know you're just trying to keep me and everyone else safe, but I'm playing a dangerous game, Hermione. There are risks I just have to take. Hermione began to cry in earnest. Harry simply pulled her close, feeling miserable himself for being the one to make her cry. He shifted to dig in his pocket for the handkerchief, inwardly rolling his eyes at the fact that he had one on him at all. Draco had stuffed it in his pocket before he left, insisting that Harry never knew when he might need it. Hermione accepted it gratefully, despite giving him a strange look. She didn't question him, though, immediately turning her eyes away again as she wiped her face and blew her nose. All right? Harry asked quietly.
No, Hermione said, sniffing. I knew you were angry with us a little, but I didn't understand before that we were actually hurting you. I didn't see it as us not trusting you.
Do you see it now?
Yes, she admitted softly. And I'm sorry for not having more faith in you. I'm supposed to be one of your best friends, but I haven't exactly been acting like it.
Harry shrugged uncomfortably. You're still one of my best friends, Hermione. I don't know what I'd do without you. I don't expect blind faith and for you to just follow whatever I say. I just wish you trusted me a little more instead of acting like you're the only one who knows what's best for me.
I've been unfair to you, haven't I? Hermione said quietly.
I haven't been the easiest person to deal with lately, Harry said, shrugging again. I'm not being fair to you either. I feel guilty about it, but I just don't feel like I can tell you everything right now.
Hermione tilted her head. So you've been going to Remus instead of us, she said.
Yeah, Harry said, feeling guilty yet again because he wasn't mentioning all the other people he was going to as well. She was going to be hurt when she found out the twins and Ginny knew about the Slytherins and she didn't. He didn't know how to tell her that most of the secrets he was keeping from her, they weren't exactly his secrets to tell. It was the lives of Severus and the Malfoys at stake, and Harry wasn't going to risk them just to satisfy his friends. Remus had guessed about Severus and Draco. Draco had made the decision to tell the twins, Ginny and Remus. Narcissa had made the decision to let the twins know of her presence at the Dursleys. The only person Harry had really informed was Severus, and that was only after severe torture. Severus's torture, not his own, but it was still torture.
Well, I'm glad you're getting on with him so well, she admitted. It's been a rather difficult year for both of you.
Considering his thoughts had drifted to Severus, Harry blinked at her in confusion for a moment, until he remembered they'd been talking about Remus. It was time to change the subject. I gather you haven't slept much because you've been researching, he said. Hermione looked at him sadly.
It's been busy here during the day, what with preparing for the wedding. Mrs. Weasley is probably back in the kitchen again as we speak, preparing for the reception. I've been doing some of the research, but I don't feel like I've spent the time I really need, she said. I'm sorry, Harry.
It's all right, Harry said. I've been pushing too hard and forgetting that most people have other things going on, he admitted sheepishly.
You really are focused on getting rid of Voldemort as soon as possible, aren't you? Hermione said. I think we can all take that as a good thing, overall,
but I'm still worried about you. You are not the only one, Harry said dryly. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if Remus showed up at the Three Broomsticks later to check up on me.
Oh, Hermione breathed, her eyes widening. I'd almost forgotten about it. You should be going, Harry, she urged.
Are we all right now? Harry asked, looking at her closely.
Of course we are, she said, smiling at him. I'm not nearly as confident that Ron and I are all right, though, she said.
Ron likes you, Harry said. He's simply a little, insensitive sometimes.
Oh, I know, Hermione said dismissively. Things have just been a little bit strained lately with everything going on. If I didn't like him so much, though, I'd likely strangle him.
I still might, she added thoughtfully. Harry sniggered. I reckon he just wanted to get away for a bit, he said. He'll be back and begging for your forgiveness in the morning.
Probably, Hermione agreed, grinning. Her grin faltered. You'll go and keep an eye on him? She asked hopefully. Try to keep him from making too big of a fool out of himself?
I'll do what I can, Harry said, inwardly wondering if he'd be able to do much if Ron really decided to cause trouble. His brothers are there, and likely things will be fine.
I hope so, Hermione muttered. She gave Harry another tight hug before urging him to get going. I've kept you too long as it is.
It was worth it, Harry said sincerely.